Joseph, thank you very much. I'm really loud. I'm not thanking Joseph for that. But Joseph, thank you very much for leading us in our singing. Thank you very much for the song selection too. Those are very powerful songs and it ties into what I'll be talking about. But before I do that, I've got to say I am so sorry that I missed this when I was making announcements. But when I heard that voice, I knew she was back. Sister Carlotta, welcome back. It's great to have you back. Good to see you on your pew. We kept it reserved for you, and we're thankful that she's able to be here today. What a beautiful voice. And keep praying for her as she continues to recover from her back surgery. We also have here with us today a young man that is here for the very first time. He has been a precious angel. He has not even fussed one time during my sermon yet. That's probably coming because some of y'all are already fussing through it. But Coach Mark, bring that sweet baby Jackson on up, buddy. We're going to show Jackson off to the church world today. I didn't get to hold Jackson in the hospital. There were a lot of hands wanting him, but today I will. Wow. Look at this fella. Isn't that sweet? Y'all can ooh and ah, you know? So precious. Like a little baby doll, man. Congratulations, Mark, Katie. Katie, you look amazing. Good job. Mark, Coach Mark, good job. Thank you very much. I love that. I love these babies. I love that we have a church where babies are being born. Someone said one time, you're always going to grow if people keep having babies. And so we appreciate mamas and daddies bringing their babies to worship. Isn't that critical? We live in a time when there are a lot of people making choices. Choices to do other things. Choices to not bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I saw recently on social media where it was on a Sunday morning during a worship service. And I'm not trying to be Mr. Debbie Downer today, but it just that triggered this thought. I saw on social media recently a picture during worship time of they had participated in this activity, this sporting event, all day long, and they were praying as a group, which is a good thing to do, and a light was shining down on them, and the families were like praising God for, you know, shining down on them. And I'm sitting there thinking, he probably would have been rather you been in worship that day, you know. But anyhow, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that we have this time together. I'm going to start a series of lessons today about something I think is critical. Our theme this year is more. We want to do more for God. We want to be more for God. And so we really, the basis of our religion, the basis of our commitment to God is faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so today we're going to talk about even though. We're going to start this series and look at some biblical examples, some demonstrations of faith that even when times were tough, even when storms arose, even when challenges came their way, even though they were in the midnight of hours, they still leaned on God. They still pressed on, and they still recognized that God was with them. Christ was working for them. And so today we're going to talk about that, because here's what I want. But more importantly than that, here's what God wants. God wants this from you, and God wants this from me. He wants a faith that defies. Not defiant children, right? He wants a faith that defies anything that comes our way. When we can have that kind of solid foundation, when we can put more in the tank, when we can put more Jesus in our lives, more God in our hearts, when we can have more faith that no matter what the devil throws at us, We're going to praise God. We're going to stand where we need to stand. When we can do that, you know what our God is? He is happy. He is pleased. He is smiling down because faith pleases God, and it takes faith to please God. Midnights are going to happen, aren't they? You ever, I went through a time when I had insomnia, and that is a miserable, miserable feeling. And some of you have been there and are currently there, I would imagine. But you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night, whether it's 12 midnight, 1 in the morning, whatever it may be, you know, it seems like it takes forever, doesn't it? Till that daylight cracks. Till that early morning sun starts peeking up over the horizon. It takes a long time. Even though it's the same amount of time, it crawls by. Well, guess what? In those times, your mind wanders and you start worrying and you start stressing and you start just hurting with angst and anxiety and worry and stress, and all this is piled on top of one another. Well, guess what? Even as Christians, we have midnights. We're going to have them. Even as Christians, we're going to have valleys. You know, people talk about climbing mountains, that if when you get to the peak of a mountain, it is like nothing you've ever felt because you've conquered the mountain and you have this mountaintop experience. But I've often thought about that, and I don't want to be a pessimist, but when you get to that mountain, the next thing you've got to do is you've got to come down off that high. You've got to come down off that peak, and then you're going to get into a valley, and that's kind of how the world works with us. We might go through this extreme happy time, joyful time, but the devil doesn't want us to be happy. He doesn't want us to be joyful, and so he pulls the wool out from under us, the rug out from under us, and all of a sudden we're in a valley. Those are going to happen. Temptations are going to happen. He tempted Jesus Christ. He's certainly going to tempt us, right? He's going to throw everything he can our way. There are going to be opportunities all the time. There are going to be opportunities to walk away from God. Sadly, some choose those moments. Sadly, there are names that we could probably look up today in our directories, and we can see that they have walked away from God. Some of that could be circumstance. Some of that could be hurt feelings. Some of that could be because of choices they've made. But the bottom line is there are going to be opportunities for each and every person here today, self and you, to walk away from God. But I pray that even though there are midnights, even though there are valleys, even though there are temptations, even though there are opportunities to walk away, that we will choose to walk to. We will not walk away from God. We will grow stronger and we will walk to God. We need more faith so that we can be ready for whatever comes our way. I do not want us to forget this right here. We are blessed people. You know, Walter Brock, my buddy Walter, I've always asked Walter, how you doing today, brother? And he's always responding to me, I'm blessed. Now, I'm not foolish enough to realize that Walter may have a bad day. Walter may have a bad moment. But it puts it in perspective because he realizes no matter what moment, I'm blessed. Well, I've tried to adopt that, Walter. I want you to know you rubbed off on me. And so I walk up to people now, and when they say, how are you doing? I try to respond and remind myself, hey, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And I did this with a guy at the gym. And this man I became, I guess, acquaintances with. We became friends, if you will. He worked there, and he would clean the locker rooms and clean the gym and everything. And you go in, and he just had the best personality. It's somebody I wanted to talk to, and I got to know, and I learned a lot about his life history, where he had struggled, where he had even had to be punished for some things that he had committed. And he didn't have a car. He was married, but he didn't have a ride. And so he would make sure, though, that he got a ride to work every day. And now he's moved on to a great job. I've invited him to church many times, and I hope one day he'll still come. But I would say, we would talk to each other. He said, how you doing today? I said, I'm blessed. He said, and highly favored. He always responded that way. And I want you to remember today, we are blessed and highly favored. We are also a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We are God's special people. Do not forget that you belong to Jesus. You belong to God. We belong to His family. We are part of His body. And when we have that mindset, when we live our lives that way, even though the devil will try to get us to fall, we will remind ourselves of how blessed we really are. To blow up a balloon to its full capacity takes some work. I've had balloons that, you know, you have to stretch them real hard, and sometimes you can just blow and your face is red and you get like this much air in it, you know. Some of those, I don't know why some of those balloons, maybe it's just the rubber or silicone or whatever it's made out of that compacts so much. But when you get it blown up, it's full. It's able to do what it needs to do. Because it took some struggle, you were able to get the air in there, and it went to capacity. That's the type of faith that we need. There's going to be some struggles, right? We're going to have to work hard sometimes. We're going to have to fight through them. But eventually, things will release, and we will be able to fully expand our faith. But this is what we've got to be careful for. Letting the air out, because the devil is trying to deflate your faith. He's trying to get it to go away. He's trying to get you, and he's trying to get me to stop being the faithful Christians that we are. So I need us to ask some questions today. First of all, how can we go from coal to diamonds? Think about coal. Recently I read that there is people have realized there are tons of diamonds under the earth's crust. Y'all read that? Anyhow, that we can't get to them. We don't have a drill big enough. But what's happened down there, it's hot and things are under pressure. And the more pressure that coal is under, the more pressure and as heated up as it is, eventually it becomes something very special. You see, we're going to be pressured. We're going to be cooked on. We're going to be heated up. But the more I lean on God, the more I'm going to be able to shine. So how can we do that? How can we also go from the row to the relationship? See, you're sitting in rows today. How can we get out of the pew and go to the relationship with God? Well, again, it takes a strong faith. It takes that even though kind of mentality. How do we gain hope even in the darkest of nights? Same way. We need to know that God is enough. God plus anything is a majority. You see, God plus you is a majority. God plus me is a majority. God plus David was a majority. We need to remember that when God is enough, even though there's midnights, even though there's valleys, even though there's temptations, even though there's opportunities to walk away, we can be victorious. So today I want to prove it to you. I want to prove it through a section of Scripture. And that Scripture is found in Acts chapter 16. This is just a phenomenal story. And I want you to turn there, and I want us to read through this, and I want us to focus on some words. When I study my Bible, you'll notice when I preach and we have a textual study, I love words. I love to grab onto the word that is there, because it instantly catches me. Sometimes these words, they catch me where I am in my life with my mental state or whatever it may be, and I try to grab hold of those words, and it helps me remember. And so today, we're going to do that. We're going to also use some things that may be familiar to our children that are called emojis. We're going to use that to try to memorize this type of area that we are in Scripture, because this is very important. You know why it's very important? Because today, some of you are going through some midnights. Some of you are in some some temptations. Some of you, some of us, we're in some valleys right now. Let's face it. We can come in with our suits and our ties and our dresses and our nice clothes on, but let's not, this can be a show right here. Because the world's real. And the devil's, unfortunately, really good at what he does. But I want you to look at Acts 16 now. The church is on fire. Remember, they are growing by multitudes every day now. There are just so many great things going on. The first half of Acts is really about Peter. The second half is really about Paul. And so that's where we are in Acts 16. And so I want you to look at, we're going to pick up, verse 15 is a great verse. When she and her household were baptized, they just baptized Lydia and her household, she said, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. I just want you to see what's going on in the life of Paul. They've been to Lydia and her house, and they baptized them all. And that's a great day. That's a great moment. A man who used to persecute the church, a man who used to persecute the church is now leading people to Jesus Christ. But what happens in those mountaintop experiences? That's a mountaintop experience. What happens? The devil tries to knock us off the mountain. And here's where it happens. Look at verse 16. Now it happened as we went. Now this is going to be Paul, Silas, and Luke is also. Luke is the author, so he's part of the we there. Now it happened as we went to prayer. Good thing to do, right? And that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now, I want you to listen to this. See the scene. If you and I are going to understand this story, we've got to picture it, okay? Paul and them have just led this great victory. And so now they're going and they're praying together and all of a sudden this girl who works for these fortune teller people, again, it's a money-making business, she has got a spirit in her, a demon in her that is recognizing the Most High God. That's what's happening. And so if you pick back up in verse 17, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now, let me tell you something. That's something good to be told about. I want people to go around and say, "Hey, that's Terry Cagle. He talks about God. He talks about Jesus. He talks about salvation." And, you know, that's fine and dandy. But she was really kind of, and I don't mean this because it's not Paul's thorn in the flesh, but she was a thorn in his flesh. Okay? She was bothering them. She was getting in the way, not the girl, but the spirit that's in her. And enough can be enough sometimes. But isn't that the way the devil is? He just grinds your gears. He just gets you and he comes after you and he tries to make you give up, tries to make you flee, tries to get you out of there. But what happens with this? She did this for many days, verse 18. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. Here's the first word that really jumps out at me. That's the word annoyed. You ever get annoyed? I'm sure you do. I get annoyed. I get annoyed by a lot of things. But you know what it takes? I'm really trying to work on my yelling. I really am. Especially with my children. And because sometimes I can get really worked up and sometimes my anxiety comes out and I yell. And so I'm really working on that. But I tell my children I wouldn't yell as much as if I came in here and said, "Hey kids, I want this room to be cleaned up." If you just jumped up and did it. Usually they don't. They usually wait till Daddy yells, and then they jump up and do it with tears and everything else. But here's the point. We really don't do something about something until we're really annoyed. Have you noticed that? If it doesn't bother you a little bit, I can deal with that. The devil's grinding your gears. Oh, I can face it. I can face it. Paul finally said, enough is enough. I am tired of this. Come out of her. By the way, look at the power of the gospel. Look at the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. At those words, that spirit came out because they had the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. But folks, that's what it's going to take. Today, if you are in a midnight, if you are in a valley, you have got to be annoyed at the situation you're in, but place the blame not on the elders, not on the youth minister, not on the preacher, not on the church, but the devil. And let's get annoyed with him. Let's get upset with him. Let's fight with him. Annoyed. What else happens? By the way, when we make good choices, that doesn't mean things are always going to happen greatly. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, that's a bad thing, affecting their pocketbooks now, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And that just stands out with me. Because you know what they were guilty of? Teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that every one of us would have deserved beatings that day. I really do. If we're going to have a faith that is an even though kind of faith, then we've got to be willing to take the devil's persecution. It's going to happen. The devil doesn't want you if he has you. The devil wants you when he doesn't have you. So he will use the closest of people. He will use anything it takes to get you and to get me to quit following God. That's why people walk away from God. People hurt my feelings. People said something ugly about me. People don't care about me. People don't love me. People didn't call me. People didn't text me. People didn't Facebook message me or whatever. They didn't cook me a meal. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. And so that's what the devil wants. He wants us to turn on one another. And sometimes people are going to turn on us. Still not a beating, but it still hurts. Paul and Silas, Luke, I would imagine too, took those beatings. They beat them with rods. Could you imagine how bad that hurt? They beat them because they taught in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, here it is, right? They're in a midnight. I talked to you earlier about that insomnia moment. Okay, here you are spiritually in a midnight. The night is long. You feel like you can't. Do you think the night was long for Paul and Silas? Luke? They've been beaten with rods. They've been shackled up. They've been thrown in jail, the inner prison, and they have a jailer sticking to them so that they will not get out. That's a midnight. It's literally midnight. It's a long night. Some of you right now, maybe you haven't been through that, but you've got something going on in your life that you are in a struggle. How are we going to respond? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. when I think about that. I wonder, what do we do? How do we react in those? Let me tell you how some will react. Some will react by trying to make other people miserable. Because if I'm misery, I love company. If I'm going to be miserable, I want somebody to be miserable with me. And so what I'll do, I'll lash out at another person, maybe one that I love. Maybe one that's even part of me, like my wife. I might lash out at them. I might talk down to them. I might make their lives miserable. Why? Because it feels good to have somebody with me. I may call up somebody at the church and call them out because they didn't make me feel better. I want to be miserable, and I want you to be miserable with me. That's what some do. That's what the devil will tempt us to do. But in your midnight, in my midnight, I need to spend quality time in prayer to God. And no matter what, I still need to sing His praises. Jesus Christ said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. When we are in our valleys, when we are in our midnights, if we will spend time growing closer to God, even though we're in our midnight, great things are still going to happen. You know what happened, right? By the way, does the devil take notice? Yeah, he does. When I'm praying and singing, even though he throws something at me, you got to think the devil looked back and he's like, I got him. I got Paul and Silas, Luke, whoever else was. I got him. But then he hears them singing and praying. He's annoyed. He's frustrated. But here's the beauty of it. Yeah, the devil takes notice, but so do others. Do you notice they had an audience? The prisoners were listening. So was the jailer. Because when God sends the earthquake, when God makes the way for them to escape, they do not leave. Why did they not leave? I am sold that they felt like they could lead somebody to Christ. And they certainly did. They took that jailer. They went to his house. They dined together. Again, late night. After they got their stripes all cleaned up and washed, they baptized them, the jailer and his family, into Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. How do we do that? How can I be that way? Close out this. First and foremost, I got to live in God's will. You know what Paul and Silas were doing? They were living in God's will. When Paul was obedient to the gospel, he was immersed in water for the remission of his sins. Remember, Ananias said, arise, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When he called on the name of the Lord, guess what? He came up and the devil went to work. So this was part of God's will. Jesus Christ went to Ananias and he said, I will show him the things he must suffer. But he still chose to live in God's will. When you and I choose to live in God's will, it doesn't mean we're going to have a force field around us. But no matter what happens to us, we are still in the will of God. And that's far greater than anything else we can ever imagine. Today, if you want to have an even though kind of faith, you must live in the Father's will. Secondly, we must lean on God's grace. We can't rely on the grace to save us. Remember, certainly not, may it never be, when Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? But we got to lean on God's grace. You see, I need God. I need God for moments that I don't even know about because I'm living in His will. You know what the Bible says? His grace is sufficient. It's all we need. We sang it today, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then finally, we got to lead by God's power. Live in God's will, lean on God's grace, lead by God's power. God's got plans for you. God's got plans for me. When I live a Spirit-led life, I'm not sure exactly where that will take us. I'm not sure exactly who I will encounter today, tomorrow, or in the future. But it will be somebody, it will be an opportunity, it will be a situation that through the power of God, I will be able to bring glory and honor to His name. You see, as a child, I guess even today, since there are a bunch of superhero movies, we get that idea of superhuman strength. We get that idea of man, Superman had that super strength and these other superheroes have these super strengths. Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that, if I could fly or if I could take a bullet or if whatever. We can't do any of that. But I do know that over there on the wall and under here and all, that has electricity running to it. That has power running to it. And if I plug something into it, I can receive power. Well, today, we can plug into God's power. Paul did. Silas did. And even though they were in the midnight, they were able to sing, they were able to pray, and they were able to lead. Today, are you tired of being in the midnight? Are you tired of being in the valley? Are you tired of being in the sin? Well, then let's get out of it. Let's plug in. Let's lead by God's power. Let's lean on God's grace and let's live in God's will. And let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.